Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad.
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य श्रुत शत श्री श्रीमद इज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य श्रुत शत श्री श्रीमद इज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, all glories, all glories to Guru and Gauranga. Nairanam namaskritam naram chevam narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudiryet नष्टे प्रायेषु अवद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट नंबर 8 9 एंड 10। ग्रहम अनितम दुमहिया प्रहदम दैत्यायज्ञकः प्रस्यस्या शिलाक्षणया वचा सम प्रचंता संभवी। ग्रहम अनितम महिया प्रहरादम दैत्यायाजिकः प्रासस्या शिलाक्षणया वाचा सम प्रचंता साम्भी। ग्रहम अनीतम आयुया प्रहरादम दैत्यायाजिकः प्रसस्या शिलाकृष्ण्या वाचा समा प्रचंता साम्भी।
सामा
ग्रहं मनीतम प्ररम देतयाजक प्राशस्याशलक्ष्मया वाच समाप्रचन्त सामवी ग्रहं मानीतम् आयुया प्ररारं दैत्ययाजिकः प्राशस्याशलक्ष्मया वाच साम प्रचन्त सामभी ग्रहं मनीतम् आयुया प्रह्लादं दैत्ययाजिकः प्राशस्याशलक्ष्मया वाच साम प्रचन्त सामभी Graham, to the place of the teachers, Sanda and Amarka. Anitam, brought. Ahuya, calling. Prahardam, Prahlada. Detya Yajakaha, the priest of the demon Harinakashipu. Prasasya, by pacifying. Shilakshnaya, with a very mild. Vacha, voice. Samaprachanta, they questioned. Samabhi, by very agreeable words. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. When Hiranyakashipu's servants brought the boy Prahlad back to the Gurukula, the place where the Brahmanas taught the boys, the priests of the demons, Sanda and Amarka, pacified him. With very mild voices and affectionate words, they inquired from him as follows. Purport. Sanda and Amarka, the priests of the demons, were eager to know from Prahlad Maharaj who the Vaishnavas were that came to instruct him in Krishna consciousness. Their purpose was to discover the names of these Vaishnavas. In the beginning, they did not threaten the boy because when threatened, he might not identify the real culprits. Therefore, they very mildly and peacefully inquired as follows. I'll read the translation and purport of text number 9 and 10 as well. Dear son Prahlad, all peace and good fortune unto you. Kindly do not speak lies. Just reply with the truth. These boys, you see, are not like you, for they do not speak in a deviant way. How have you learned these instructions? How has your intelligence been spoiled in this way? Purport. Prahlad Maharaj was still a boy, and therefore his teachers thought that if they pacified the little boy, he would immediately speak the truth, revealing the secret of how the Vaishnavas came there to teach him lessons in devotional service. It was surprising, of course, that in the same school, the other boys of the Daityas were not polluted. Only Prahlad Maharaj was supposedly polluted by the instructions of the Vaishnavas. The main duty of the teachers was to inquire who those Vaishnavas were that came to teach Prahlad and spoil his intelligence. Text number 10. O best of your family, has this pollution of your intelligence been brought about by you or by the enemies? We are all your teachers and are very eager to hear about this. Please tell us the truth. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj's teachers were astonished that a small boy could speak such exalted Vaishnava philosophy. Therefore, they inquired about the Vaishnavas who stealthily taught it to him. in order that these Vaishnavas might be arrested and killed in presence of Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalpataru Vesha Kripa Sindhu Bhaya Ivacha Patita Nam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakt Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, like any father, Prahlad Maharaj's father, Hiranyakashipu, he had also a lot of expectations from his son. So, Hiranyakashipu was the king of demons, and he wanted Prahlad Maharaj to take his place one day. So he was quite disturbed when he saw and heard from Prahlad Maharaj and his teachers that the only thing he's learning is about Vishnu and how to serve him. So it was really a matter of concern for him. So he instructed his servants to take Prahlad Maharaj back to Gurukula, to his teachers, and he instructed the teachers to find out from where all this knowledge which Prahlad Maharaj has gained has come. And as it is explained by Prabhupada, the idea was to stop Prahlad Maharaj from learning about Vishnu and also to punish the Vaishnavas who have been polluting Prahlad Maharaj's mind. So there are a couple of points in these purports which are important for us. Here, the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj named Shanda and Amarka, who are the sons of their spiritual master of Daityas, what is his name? Shukracharya. And they were given the task of teaching politics, diplomacy, and all other economics, etc., the knowledge which is needed in the material world to Prahlad. But Prahlad did not learn anything from those subjects, and he was only focusing on Krishna consciousness. So, in today's language, it is called brainwashing. And I think this word is used quite commonly that, you know, oh, so-and-so got brainwashed by the teachings of so-and-so. So when I was preparing for this class, I heard very interestingly that ISKCON preaching also became a subject of a court case several years ago. You know, many parents of ISKCON devotees or devotees who were influenced by Srila Prabhupada and took his shelter, they were quite concerned, like Hiranyakashipu. And they used to kind of persuade their, you know, children to go for some consultation, psychiatric consultation. And there are specialists who are called deprogrammers. So their job is to deprogram or reverse the brainwashing process and bring the child or the boy and the girl back to their normal life, which means mating, intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, etc. So that is the normal life according to the parents and also according to the psychiatrist. So this psychiatrist really got quite interested that, you know, there are so many such young boys and girls are being brought to them, brought to her. So she reported, or somehow the Association of Psychiatrists, they got to know about it. And they went to the court to file a case against ISKCON that they are brainwashing their children. And this was a very interesting case, which eventually went to Supreme Court of United States. And I heard that not many cases are taken up by Supreme Court. Only about 10% of the cases reach them, or they, when they come, only 10% of the cases they take. But in this case, they were also, you know, interested. And many other churches, they also joined ISKCON in this, because if preaching was categorized as brainwashing, then even they would be affected with the decision of the court. So it was a big court, a big case in the Supreme Court, and eventually Supreme Court favored in favor of ISKCON and also the other churches that preaching is not brainwashing. So that is some of the background to extent to which people with demonic tendencies and qualities could go to stop young boys and girls, or people who have some emotional inclination. So this is what had been going on here in this country. So the main duty of Shanda and Amarka being to find out who polluted brain of Prahlad Maharaj. So it is a kind of, you know, we can say a detective movie. You know, certain things happen and detectives are working on the things which happen. They are trying to find out, you know, who is the murderer or the person who committed the theft and so on. So here also, it is something like that. They are using all the tactics available to them to find out the people or the Vaishnavas behind Prahlad Maharaj's pollution. And these Prahlad Maharaj's teachers, Shanda and Amarka, they are using what we call Niti Shastra, something which is, you know, taught in Niti Shastra, which is in today's world is called diplomacy. So there are different ways to interrogate a person or a subject, as they call it in today's language. First, they try to be very nice. They ask questions in a very, very sweet way so that the person can answer them. And that's the first step. If that doesn't happen, you know, they are not successful in getting the information by being sweet, the next step they use is bribery. So we have often seen also with our parents sometimes that if they want a child to do something, they will try to bribe him, take a chocolate, take a candy, or we'll buy you a toy. Something happened and they want to get more information, they will you know, try to give some bait to the child and get the information from him or her. Sometimes, most of the time it works, but sometimes it doesn't work. And especially in case of those so-called hardened criminals in view of demons, here Prahlad Maharaj is like that, it doesn't work. So then what do they do? Then they adopt the third method, which is by torturing the subject. And in this case, as we all know, Prahlad Maharaj was tortured and tortured and tortured. And his father was so upset with what Prahlad Maharaj would utter whenever Hiranyakashipu would ask him a question about what he has been learning in the school. And just few words of Prahlad Maharaj would be enough to make Hiranyakashipu hit the ceiling. So he was always bent upon harassing and torturing Prahlad Maharaj. But do we know who was the Vaishnav who imparted this knowledge to Prahlad Maharaj? Is that secret known? Yes, Prabhu. Narad Muni. That's correct. So when Prahlad Maharaj was still in the womb of his mother, Narad Muni instructed, and Prahlad Maharaj got all the knowledge about Vaishnavism, about serving Lord Vishnu, when he was still in his womb's mother. There is another example in Mahabharata of a similar nature. Do you know which one? That is Abhimanyu's. When Abhimanyu was in his mother's womb, Subhadra's womb, Arjun was explaining to her the formation of Chakravyuh. Chakravyuh is the formation in which Abhimanyu was eventually killed. So as the story goes, there was the battle of Mahabharata was going on, and there was one particular front on which Arjun was to go and fight the enemy. And that very day, the Kauravs' army, they planned to do a formation called Chakravyuh. Chakravyuh means the person who is whom they are fighting, he will be surrounded by all the sides and eventually be defeated or killed. So they were to do this formation, and rest of the Pandavas, other than Arjun, they had no idea how to get into Chakravyuh and come out of it. So they didn't really know what to do, and they were in a big dilemma. Because if Yudhishthira was caught into this formation and arrested or killed, then the battle would be lost. So they were having their discussions, and then Abhimanyu came forward, and he says he knows about how to get into the Chakravyuh. Then the rest of the Pandavas, they asked him, but how to get out? And he says, I do not know that, because when my father was explaining this thing to my mother, she went to sleep. And my father did not explain any further. So I only know part of the story, part of the strategy. So the Pandavas were very confident that once Abhimanyu shows them the way how to get into that formation, then being so strong, and they will be able to defeat the warriors of Kauravas and come out of it successfully. And that's what they tried. But eventually, they were not so successful because they did not know the trick, and Abhimanyu was killed. So this also proves that when the baby is in mother's womb, from the 7th month of pregnancy, he or she could really feel what's going on around, can really, you know, get the information from what's going on in the environment around the mother. And that's why, I don't know about Western society, but in Indian society, the expectant mothers are generally instructed to read spiritual books, do prayers, and so on, rather than watching cartoons. Because if they are watching cartoons, the baby very likely will be influenced by those cartoons. And that's what happens number of times we are seeing this. Or they are watching all kind of things available on internet, available on the TV, etc. And we can very confidently say that part of the demonic culture or tendency which we are gaining are coming directly from there. So, I think to summarize again what we did, in what we learned in these three verses, is that religious teaching is definitely not brainwashing, even though demons think that way. And demons mean not necessarily Hiranyakashipu and his family, but even demons today, they think that preaching is brainwashing. And we have to be extremely careful. In the last verse yesterday, we heard Prabhupada saying, actually he quoted Chanakya Pandit, that sometimes to to deal with cheaters, we have to also adopt similar tactics to defeat them. But to defeat them, to propagate Krishna consciousness and not any other malefied intentions. So I'll stop here, and if there are any discussion points or questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Is there any reasoning trying to convince them that it's actually beneficial, or should one just neglect them, like neglect their arguments entirely? Is it even possible to try to convince, you know, some demon of accusing someone of, you know, being brainwashed?
Yeah, I will answer this from yesterday's class that Jaya Jagannath Prabhu gave, that we are also demons. We had those tendencies, but somehow we were fortunate to come in contact with some exalted soul or a devotee of the Lord, and we got influenced by them, and we got the inspiration to take this path. So I'm not very sure, you know, everybody has to be first of all fortunate to get that. There is a love for Krishna in everybody's heart, as Prabhupada says so many times. It is that it is covered with so much of ignorance and it has been dormant. Only it can be awakened by association and mercy of devotees. So we say in our society that association and prasadam helps a lot. So we all come across people who have no interest at all in Krishna or in God consciousness. So, but still, if we be nice to them, we bring them prasadam, I do personally is to sometimes even give them books of Srila Prabhupada, which they might be inspired to read sometime, then it helps them. But a number of times, unless we are ourselves very, very strong means like our concepts are very clear, if we try to influence somebody, the results may be counterproductive. So it has to be done very, very carefully. Thank you. Jai Jagannath Prabhu, please feel free to add and correct me.
I had a question. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "What is night for common men is a time of awakening for the self-control. And what is a time of awakening for common man is night for the introspective sage." And Srila Prabhupada comments in the first sentence that this verse is describing two types of intelligences, one who is intelligent for spiritual life and one is intelligent for material life. And as such, you put those two persons in the same room or given them the same circumstance, they see it differently because of their different types of intelligence. So also in this section in the Bhagavatam, we're seeing different types of intelligence, and neither one can understand the other in some sense. Like Prahlad Maharaj is going to express his shock to see people are actually in the Bali concept of life. You know, I've heard about this, but now I'm actually seeing this. And they're also shocked to see Prahlad Maharaj's, his type of intelligence. So within the community of devotees also, there are different types of intelligence according to our maturation in bhakti. And as such, there tends to be great misunderstanding amongst devotees because of different elevation in Krishna consciousness. And we're not always able to understand each other. Or gel, so I'll use the word gel. So when dealing with that, the materialists, it's clear for us, you know, they're just in demoniac consciousness and so on. But when we're dealing within our own community and dealing with the different levels of devotees and their different types of intelligence, their different perspectives and so on, we may find it hard to reconcile the differences, especially if we're standing in a lower, you know, vantage point. And so how do we end up not demonizing one another because of this actual reality.
I do not have an answer to your question, but part of it was when you were talking about Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, I was just thinking, as we have been reading in the previous chapters, that when Hiranyakashipu was trying to pacify his family members, he was giving them practically a Bhagavad Gita class. So, interestingly, we heard from so many speakers here on this place, that if it is not explained that these are the words of Hiranyakashipu, they will say, oh, some very exalted devotee has been speaking these words. But what is lacking in Hiranyakashipu? Everything, he has all the knowledge. He talks about soul and how the soul transmigrates and so on. When he's instructing his sister-in-law, his mother and nephews, he has a perfect knowledge. But one thing which is missing is surrender to Vishnu. So this is why my realization that we may have knowledge which we can gain from so many sources. There are abundance of sources available these days. But until and unless we have that spirit of surrender to Krishna, that knowledge alone is not going to help us. So that is part of why the conflict between Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu cannot be reconciled, because they are totally, it's like a parallel railway line, it's a parallel path. Hiranyakashipu is not going to budge, and Prahlad Maharaj knows that there is no other way for perfection in life than serving Lord Vishnu. So, and these parallel lines, they are never going to meet. So that is their situation. In our situation, what do you think one could do?
This scenario is also amongst, let's say, surrendered devotees, adopted, mature devotees, and their discipline, like in a higher level. And they tend to also have
discipline. Yeah. Sometimes I think that when we read these scriptures, and Prabhupada has tried to simplify them, but in spite of that, we find that information can be quite contradictory. And when we think about Krishna, and Krishna himself says that it is not easy to understand him. Only one can understand him by bhakti. And bhakti means also the top ladder of bhakti, which is Krishna prema. So most of us are at some stage. If on the ladder there are different steps, we are at different steps. And depending on at what step one may be, his understanding of Krishna or about Krishna or Krishna's pastimes will be different. So definitely the differences will be there. Only thing is that if we are able to recognize that and hear from the other person patiently and refer to the scriptures, there is a hope of meeting somewhere. The other point which perhaps could work is taking guidance from the spiritual master, because we hear so many things based on our own understanding. It's very common to preach. I have just read maybe one page of Bhagavad Gita, or maybe not even that. I have just hold the book in my hand, and I think I am a great preacher, and I start instructing people. So obviously, what I am going to tell them will not necessarily be, they will not be able to accept it, because what I am speaking is, even if I am speaking directly from the book, until and unless I practice what I am teaching, it is not going to impact the other person. Recently, I was reading another book, and something very interesting, sentences I read, which I am very happy to share with you. As a matter of fact, I will ask it in a form of a question, that when is Shastric knowledge complete. Okay. So that was the question. And the next sentence, Prabhupada says, when we implement that knowledge in our lives. So it was very, very profound, and how true it is. I'm reminded of a story. When I was in school, we used to read about Mahabharata, Ramayana, other religions also, Jainism, Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, all you know, these things were there in our textbooks. And one story I am reminded these days often is when Pandavas and Kauravas, they went to Dronacharya's Gurukul. And you know, he used to instruct them, and one day he instructed them to memorize a lesson. And it was just a very simple sentence, that always speak truth. And he dismissed the class and said, tomorrow I'm going to ask everybody. And the Kauravas and Pandavas were very happy. Oh, it was such a no homework type, you know. Like if today's kids, they don't get any homework, they come home very happy and they can just be watching TV, playing games and so on. So even Kauravas and Pandavas were very happy that there is no homework literally. So next day they were all in their class. And Dronacharya asked everybody that, have you memorized the lesson? And everybody said, yes, except Yudhishthir. So Yudhishthir said, Guru Maharaj, I have not been able to memorize this. Then next day, again, he said, okay, I give you one more day. So next day again, same question, Dronacharya asked Yudhishthir. And he again said, sorry, Guru Maharaj, I couldn't memorize it. And it went on for several days. And after a gap of about 7 to 10 days, then Yudhishthir said, yes, Guru Maharaj, today I can confidently say that I have memorized the lesson, because now I know I'll only speak truth. And in his life, we know Yudhishthir was known as one person who always spoke truth. So, we could learn from people who not only preach, but also practice what our shastras say. And that could be one way of, one way for us to make some advancement in spiritual life. It is still not answering your question. But I'm just thinking that there are different ways of approaching the situations. And one would be that I treat everybody respectfully. And I feel, a couple of weeks ago you asked a question about identifying the level of other devotees, like whether they are, at what platform they are. Are they Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari, or Kanishtha Adhikari? Now, I'm speaking for myself. It is so difficult at times to judge this, to discern this, to make this out, that at what levels other could be. So best would be to hear from them and seek guidance from the spiritual master. You want to add something? Anything else, Prabhus? Mataji? Okay. That's it? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.